Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma. And the month of September has been a mineral month, and the elemental opportunities that have been provided have all to do with connecting purposefully to ourselves, other people, places, and things that support the truth of who we are. And tonight, I am concluding my three-part series, Honoring Your Genius. And in this broadcast, I'll be sharing wisdom and insights on taking care of your genius. It's a topic I just love talking about. And speaking of September as a purposeful month for connecting, the reason why I've only done three broadcasts this month, although there have been five Sundays. There will be five Sundays in September, is because that first weekend I actually had the wonderful opportunity to connect with my family in Florida. I have four nieces who live in Florida, one's in New York. And one of them's daughter was having a sweet 16. And so we all gathered, my brother and sister, to celebrate. And it was just wonderful. It was absolutely, absolutely fabulous. It's nothing like touching base and touching back to the people that that you grew up with, and in a loving manner. It's just really wonderful. And then next week, I will be connecting with people that I do ritual with every year in Wisconsin, and this will be the final ritual for our 2018 season. It's been really a wonderful time to be connecting. And so for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk, which is that it is a personal development resource for your mind, your body, and your soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in your life, or what I like to call having your happy ending in life. Now, every Sunday night at partying with the family in Florida or on some other mission, but in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you can listen to my live broadcast and or call into the show at this number, which is area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. I'd also like to select for you to be aware that the web link that you may get through my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or Black Hole Radio's Facebook page, or through an email that I send through content. For some reason, you can't listen live in its entirety, or you want to listen to it again, you can use that link and listen later or repeatedly. And so now I invite you to just sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Honoring of the ancestors. And tonight, I want to put some attention on our great-great-grandparents. Ancestors, and they don't always have to be blood-related. It can be people that your family had a relationship with or you had a relationship with. But tonight I am talking about blood-related. And the reason is because we don't realize, but we actually have a lot of people. And these people really have an impact on our lives today, even if we never met them and don't even know their names. But the reality is that we are connected to them, especially through the DNA, but also more importantly, through how they lived their lives and decisions that they made and what they believed about life and themselves, through our lives and through the way of traditions and culture and, you know, belief systems and practices. And so these great, great grandparents really are, you know, we don't think of them often. We don't think about it. But it's really powerful when you do. And so today, and especially because I have a niece who did really powerful ancestral wound healing work this past weekend, I thought it would be important to call out to those great-great-grandparents and thank them for all their love and support, guidance, and help to break out of whatever negativity, fear, upset, dysfunction that they experienced in their life, any undue habit that be broken up for us so that we don't have to continue to live under that, live through that, to carry that. And so I just want you to take a moment and think about your great-great-grandparents. And again, you may not even know their names. You may not have any spaces for them. But just think about the times in which they lived. For people in my generation, we're talking about people who were, and then for those who are younger than baby boomers, you're going to be getting into the turn of the century, the 1920s. For some of you, it'll be the 1940s. They'll be your great-great-grandparents. But, you know, just thinking about everything that happened, you know, historically that affected our lifestyle today. So many wars and really horrendous, you know, forms of lifestyles that people were living through then. You know, America was really still being settled, if you will, back in the 1850s. So it's a lot of pioneering stuff that our great-great-grandparents were moving through and taking on. And they did live lives that focused a lot on survival, you know, making sure that you had a roof over your head, that you had something to eat, that you had shoes or clothes to wear. And I mean, this was like basic, just kind of basic stuff. They didn't have time for Microsoft Bingo and, you know, computer games and Xbox and stuff like that. They didn't have time to deal with emotional wounds. They didn't have time to grieve. And so many of them left the homes that they had been born into, or, you know, there were diseases that came through and people didn't know about, didn't have vaccinations, and so people died. There were epidemics like one that happened in around 1911 that was pretty bad, and many, many, many people died. So bringing all this up to say that, you know, it's important for us to remember and call out to those people who came through all of that, because they, you know, they came through it some way, somehow, because we're here. And so just honoring that they came through. But also, again, we're asking for their help so that we don't continue to carry the burden of grief, of negativity, of fear, to recognize, to release, and to break up whatever pain from your life, from that past, that we are still carrying. Help us get freed up so that we can truly, truly win in our own lives and make you proud, to make all of the effort that you put into staying alive to make it count, evolve experience of your life. And so we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your help, your guidance, your wisdom. And we receive it in the name of all that is holy. And I say amen. Yes, yes, yes. You know, we are, we've now moved here in the northern hemisphere. We've moved from summer into autumn. And, of course, in the southern hemisphere, they're moving from winter into spring. They're just the complete opposite from us. But this shift in season, you know, is really important. So I want to share with you some elemental wisdom for this first week of autumn here in the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. And also I'll share some astrological information because we've got a full moon coming up tomorrow. So elementally, we are in a mineral week. which starts tomorrow, because the first of the week is always on a Monday since January 1st showed up on a Monday this year. Here's the opportunity for this week. It's about remembering your purpose. And how significant, based on the broadcast I've been doing this month, all about genius and purpose. It's about allowing the power of love to remind you of whom you really want to do and have and be in your life. The opportunity is to follow your heart and soul and take the necessary risks to experience your true power and uniqueness. So here are some distractions that you want to be aware of so you don't fall into this and waste time. You want to focus on remembering purpose. And if you have remembered your purpose, you want to focus on, okay, how a way that is appropriate for this time, for this time. So distractions, choosing to stay in confusion, meaning, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. No, you want to know. So if you're in confusion, you can choose to come out of confusion. You can really ask to know what your purpose is. Engaging in melodramas, you know, other people's stuff, or your own stuff that you're mingling with other people's stuff, to stay out of that. Taking on problems and challenges that you think are not for you to do because they are not in alignment with your highest purpose. This is really important because it's so easy for us to get snagged into thinking, you know, I'm not a good person if I'm not taking on that person's pain. I'm not helping that person out. But again, you know, people have to do what they need to do. And unless they come directly to you and ask for the help. And even sometimes when they do that, you've got to really discern, is this in alignment with my higher purpose? Is this a good use of my time and energy? And if it's not, you have to find a way to say no without feeling guilty or like you're dead to them and to yourself. Because, again, it's a distraction to you being on your purpose. Another important distraction to look out for, two more, are fear, failure, and procrastination. You know, we all get that fear that, you know, I'm not going to really be able to do it. It's not going to work out, you know, all that negativity. But that's not true. And plus, you'll never know if you don't try. And that's the procrastination piece. You know, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. You know, at some point, you just have to, I'm willing to just do it. And you just have to do it. You know, there's just no other way. You just have to do it. I'm going to do it. And the results will be miraculous. It's all wonderful. Once you get over that fear of failing and just decide, I'm going to do it. Take that step, one foot in front of the other. Now, next week, on Monday, October 1st, a water element for next week. Now, astrologically, we are having a full moon in the sign of Aries on the 24th into the 25th of September. Barbara Goldsmith, my favorite astrologer, says that this full moon in Aries is significant in that Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, and so this brings an opportunity to make a Aries is encouraging you to be brave, to speak out for what is important to you, and to take action. She says you'll be seeking balance between honoring your responsibilities and commitments and releasing that which you no longer need to carry. There's a theme going on here about what is it that I'm supposed to be letting go of? That thing's got to carry. If your heart is no longer in something, perhaps it's time to take a break or give it up altogether. It's finding the fine line between putting in your efforts and then surrendering and allowing the universe for you whatever is for your highest good. So again, you know, trusting that there really is a force out there working on our behalf. We don't have to you know, work like we're the only ones that want things to turn out for us. We are so connected to other people and other situations, never just about us. Barbara goes on to talk about that full moons tend to bring something to light, fascinating about something, such as finding a new job, changing your career direction, ending a relationship, starting a new relationship, speaking out about something that is important to you. She says, now is the time to do it. So, tomorrow with this full moon, we get this opportunity to make a fresh start and be brave, speak out, speak up, take action. You know, like, it's a new day, it's a new day. Coming out of the summer, we get now this fresh start with autumn. And again, we have that equinox on Saturday into Sunday, into Saturday into today. So we're really, you know, still coming out of equinox energy. And equinox is a time to honor change. And Lena Stevens from the PowerPath monthly forecast says, it is a change of seasons, but also a time to honor the harvest, your person in your life. So again, it's a time to kind of take stock of, you know, what have you harvested for yourself consciously, emotionally, even physically over the summertime, from the spring into the summer even. Like, what's gone on in your life? And what have you gained? What have you gained from it? How have you grown from everything that's happened? It's a wonderful question to ask yourself and then write about. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. So, tonight I am going to give you a brief overview of my last two broadcasts, and then we're going to talk about taking care of your genius, gifts, and talents. And I'm going to start with really mean when I say take care of your genius. What does that mean? And then we're going to look at three major blocks to taking care of your genius, and then I'm going to give you some examples of some famous people who knew how or know how to take care of their genius, and then I will share personal talents. My quote for this week that was attached to my announcement for the broadcast comes from Bernard Kelvin Clive. He's a young Ghanaian author, speaker, and a personal, and I think this comes from a book that he's written. He says, permit no man to make a mockery of you just because you may not be proficient in something. Remember, you are gifted no matter how insignificant it may be. It's your prized possession, value it. Value it. So like me, he believes that everybody comes with a gift. Everybody comes with a talent for something. To discover what that is for us. In my first broadcast, where I talked about your genius and your sacred contract, I was emphasizing the fact that there is a belief in the wisdom from Africa that I keep that children are born full, that there are no disposable people, because everyone is born with a purpose, a role. And so I also talked about the difference between genius and purpose, because that leads to sacred contract. And so your genius is that gift, that talent, that ability that you are born with. It's inherent in you. It's like a desire, a will, and an ability that shows up, something that you can do. I posted a video on my Facebook page, boy in a school who is being a little bit bullied, and at home his parents are having some problems, and it turns out that he's a breakdancer. Like, he's just this incredible ability to breakdance. And he goes to himself, and he does his dance. And the video is just showing, like, you know, despite whatever else is going on around him, this gift, this genius is there for him. It's in him. And nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. The reason why you have that gene. So it actually frames your ability to use it, to live it, to share it, to take care of it. So genius, having genius and having your sacred contract, your purpose behind it, they work hand in hand. They work hand in hand. And so I did talk about what a sacred contract is, why we have it, how it works. You know, that, you know, this is something that we are born with. We come through to be able to meet certain people, to be born into certain families, to live in a certain place, to marry a certain person, to have certain children. You know, like, it's all choreographed, all choreographed. And I think I gave the example of Helen Keller, like how her coming into the world unable to see, hear, or talk, you know, eventually turns into treasure, and she is able, you know, the world of speech and sound and sight to really promote that, you know, people who are challenged in these ways are still human beings and that they're not animals and that they can learn and they can communicate. You know, she got to meet like 3 presidents, but she was like this real advocate for, you know, hearing impaired, speech impaired, sight impaired people, and really gave evidence that the human spirit is alive and kicking, even when you can't see, hear, or speak. And so that was her sacred contract. That was, you know, what her purpose was, to come into this world and to be able to demonstrate that. So, again, having the sacred contract, having these gifts and these talents, they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And that when you are not connected to your sacred contract, when you are operating without purpose, it can be very, very difficult for you to honor, even care about it. You know, it might be something you put on a shelf. The personal challenge I gave you that week was, I said, even if you think you know, light a candle and call on your God, your ancestors, spirit guides, angels, loving entities to either reveal or validate your genius. And I said, give it at least 3 days to a week to show up. You know, whether that was the revelation or the validation, you understand that you can know. You can know what it is that you do. Now, can there be more than one genius that you have? Yes, most definitely. Have you ever heard the term Renaissance man? You know, somebody like a Michelangelo, you know, he was able to sculpt. And he also was able to create, you know, create it like a flying machine that, you know, people see as a precursor to when we eventually get airplanes. But, you know, he was always tinkering with stuff and inventing things. And, you know, he painted and, you know, he just was, could do so many different things. So, no, people don't sell it with just one, many talents, with many gifts. And so being able to honor them and to be with them and to, you know, to know that they have purpose is very, very, very important, very important thing for us to be doing and involved in. Now, the second week, I'm living our genius and started off with, what does that really mean? And so when you are living your genius, nothing can keep you from using it or sharing it. Like, you just have to do it. also when you're living it, everything you need to live it shows up in ways you could never imagine. You could never imagine. You know, quick story is about Matt Damon. But anyway, they do this wonderful movie that Robin Williams stars in, along with them, Ben Affleck, that's his name, Good Will Hunting. There it is. See, now my brain's working. And Matt Damon had started working on that script while he was still in school at Harvard University. And his professor saw that, you know, Matt had this gift, he had this genius, and he really liked the story, and he said, you need to go out to Hollywood. Just go join your friends and, you know, polish it up and get it made. And so he does that, and he tells a story of how on a Monday there was a bidding war going on by Wednesday, and by Thursday his life changed forever when it was picked up by the studio that decided to produce it. So that's what I mean by, you know, when you take and you say, okay, I'm going to do my genius, that, you know, everything you need in order to live it will show up easily and effortlessly. Easily and effortlessly. The thing about living your genius means that you are gifted opportunities to experience fulfillment and happy ending. So it's not just about using it, but that you actually get a validation that you're supposed to be using it. You know, you get rewarded and in many ways, not just financially, but in many, many ways that lets you know, yes, you're supposed to be doing this. What blocks your genius? I talked about four invalidation. That's when you were told that you didn't have it or that you weren't good enough or you were made fun of. Like the little kid in the movie, or you can't make money with it, you know, anything negative, and that puts you down. That's invalidating. And that will block you. That can block you from accessing your genius. Another one is forgetting your purpose in life, because without purpose, you're not going to be able to recognize, care for, or, as I said, have a loving relationship with your genius. It can also become burdensome. Ignore it altogether. Another block is that fear of failure. There it is again. When you're afraid that you'll be judged, so you're not willing to take the risk. And then on the flip side, it can be fear of success, where you're afraid that if you step out there with this, you'll be exposed and vulnerable to negative reactions, to the trolls. I called it the boogeyman, now they call them the trolls. The result of that, that you'll be disconnected, cut off, that you'll be alone from the people and the things that you knew previously. So those kinds of things can really block us, you know, from saying yes to, I'm going to use my genius. So the personal challenge I gave you last week was, if your genius hasn't been validated, ask to receive much validation for it, you know. Let yourself get what you need so that you feel confident. You make a request for that spiritually. I guarantee you the people and the situations will show up to validate you. It will happen. If you're afraid of being judged, think about who you've been judging and ask for forgiveness. That was the second thing I challenged you on, and I posted Brene Brown's video on, you know, how you respond to critics. And then last but not least, I said, if you're afraid of being alone, think about the support you need or the support you would want. Again, like with the validation, you know, ask it from your spirit guides, your ancestors, your loving entities, say a prayer, and that support will show up. It really will show up. So now tonight I want to move into, now that we've got, you know, the notion of honoring your genius and your with your sacred contracts and the association with that and how purpose frames it for you so that you can have it, living it, the actual experience of bringing your genius out into the world, living it. And then tonight we're going to talk about taking care of it and what that really means. And I just want to reiterate, too, that when I'm talking genius, I'm not talking about being Einstein. I'm talking about anything that you do and do well. And I don't care if that's washing dishes. You know, there are people who are millionaires off of organizing houses. And they just love it, and they do it so well that they were able to create a business and hire people to work with them and for them and all that stuff. And then you look up, and they've got a $1 billion business. So even the things that seem minor, you know, can become, you know, our lifestyle, and they can support us to live a good policy lifestyle because it's what we have to do. It's what we just love, love, love. Painter, you know, being a celebrity. It really is about what is it that you just love to do and you do so well, and you do so well. So the full meaning of when I say take care of your gifts, your talents, and your genius, three things. When you're taking care of it, that means you're protecting it and you're keeping it safe. So it's not just that you know your genius and you're using it, but again, you know how to protect it and you know how to keep it safe. Very, very important. Because keeping it safe also means that you don't squander it, you don't let people take advantage of it, you don't use it to the point where you're sick. You know, like you're protecting it. It means you're protecting yourself and you're keeping it safe. It means you're keeping yourself safe. So right along with that is about allowing yourself to receive the support that is required for taking care of it. That could be anything from the environment in which you use and share your genius, to what kind of people do you have in your circle? Are you allowing people to help you? People that show up and say, hey, I could do this. And then the third thing that I see as essential to the meaning of taking care of your gifts, and this is a really important one, this is about you continuously learning and growing your genius, your gift, grow it. You grow it. You're continuously learning. Now, we can get blocked in the caretaking of our gifts very easily. And here are the three major ways I believe that happens. The first is when we go into comparing and competing. If you start to compare your gift and your genius to somebody else's because it's similar, you're asking for trouble. Because it doesn't matter, it's similar. The way you do it is unique. Competing means that you're putting your time and your energy on trying to one-up people that you feel could take away what you should be receiving for your genius. That's not a good use of your time. Like Beethoven wasn't competing, right? You know, he didn't have time for that. He was just making music, right? Scoring, making scores and stuff like that, you know. You know, or any person with a gift, they're not going to be in that stage successful. They're not going to be focusing on what somebody else is doing. They're focusing on what they need to do. So comparing, competing, not a good use of your time or energy. It will block you. Another one, and we don't think about this enough because we're such an a spiritual culture here in Western society, but if you're separated from your source, from the source of your genius, because as I said, what I'm talking about is the stuff you were born with. And yeah, there's things you can learn about it and you can hone it and all of that. But even just that desire to do it, that comes from a greater order and direction. It comes from your God, your source. You don't have a relationship with your source. You really, really can block your ability to take care of your gift. Because you should be expressing gratitude for your gift on a regular basis, and that way you're staying open to receiving the more that needs to be coming to you about how to use your genius and following your sacred contract. So, again, having that spiritual relationship, that bond, that connection to your source, and you don't make anybody else your source, especially not a human being. You will definitely be let down. You could get betrayed, all of that. You have behind your gifts and your talents. And so you want to be expressing gratitude, and you want to be open to, you know, receiving the more from it. And that's a practice. That's a spiritual practice. And then the third major way that your genius caretaking can get blocked or stopped is when you don't make enough time. When you say you don't have enough time to do the caretaking, I'm too tired. No, you have to really put it on your agenda. You have to put it on your calendar. You have to take time to take care of your gifts and talents. This is very, very important. I can't say this enough. So making time as an excuse, not good. And I can tell you, anybody who has a gift that they share with audiences, it's grueling. It's grueling. It's really hard. And most of them are just looking forward to when the tour is over and they can get back to taking care, doing their caretaking. But I tell you, the ones that are able to do it well is because they've figured out how to do the caretaking while they're on tour. So, here's something important to know about is there are results when you effectively take care of your genius and your gift. And there are three results that I think are really natural. This is what naturally happens when you take care of your gift. This is like automatic. One is longevity. And it's not so much that you're going to live long, but that your gift lasts. Your gift lasts over a period of time. It lasts over a period of time. It doesn't fade. It doesn't go away. It lasts. There's a longevity to it. Next is prosperity. Prosperity isn't always, you know, in the form of currency. Prosperity just means that everything you need shows up, that you have what you need so that you can use your gift, take care of it, and, you know, grow it, prosperity. And then the third is legacy, that you are able to affect other people through the use of your gift, and they're able to take from what you have shared and use that for what they need to share so that it's like your gift goes on even after you're no longer in a position. And legacy, those are the natural results of using your gift, living your gift, and taking care of it. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of people who are celebrities that really prepared a gift, figured it out, learned it. The first one's Aretha Franklin. You know, Aretha Franklin started out with Atlantic Records, and, you know, she cut her records, and, you know, and the time that she first came on the scene, you know, that style and new styles came in. And Aretha just kept growing and learning. And, you know, she'd go along with the style. Or she would say, you know what, it's time for a gospel album. She put out a gospel album in the 70s that, like, was like, wow, it was blown away. She wasn't afraid to try different forms of singing. You know, she just really got it. Like, I've got this gift. It doesn't matter what time period I'm in or whatever else is going on. I can use this. I can take care of it, and I can use it. 95 years old, and he is doing sellout venues. So, you know, he's selling out auditoriums and theaters, you know, at 95. People running to see Tony Bennett. I know I would if I could get a ticket to go see him totally. And so, you know, again, when he came on the time he came on the scene, oh, my God, the music has so changed. They call that elevator music now. But with along with his son, and that was the support that he was able to receive, you know, he kind of really brought himself out there and said, hey, you know, I've got this gift, I've got this treasure, and I want to share it. And I'll do some duets with some young people, and, you know, I'll hook up with Lady Gaga, yeah, that rocks, you know. I mean, and he just really kept growing. He kept growing himself. But at the same time, honoring that gift, honoring that gift. Louis Armstrong was another amazing artist who, you know, started out in an era. And, like, you know, Louis Armstrong is, like, cited as the one of the creators of jazz coming out of New Orleans, you know. And he goes from, you know, the Hot Five band that he did and that type of jazz, you know, into the 1930s, into the 40s, into the 50s. Into the 60s, he has a hit record, you know, a hit record at that age that he was, you know, which was Hello Dolly and Mac the Knife. And then, of course, you know, ends his career, The World, you know, about loving the world, about how beautiful the world is, you know, and it gets used a lot in movies and things. But, you know, so again, he just had this incredible longevity, lots of prosperity, and left such a legacy behind. Another person I can think of is Fred Astaire, who was just a dancer. You know, Fred Astaire was a dancer, and he started out as a child in vaudeville and ended up in his teens and in his 20s on Broadway with his sister. He's a Broadway star, you know, did all these plays, introduced all these songs from the great, what they call Tin Pan Alley writers like Irving Berlin and George Gershwin and Cole Porter. You know, he introduced all these songs, you know. And he was a dancer. He wasn't really a singer. He was a dancer. But they loved how he sang. Clearly, you could hear their lyrics, and they were really happy about that. And then when his sister leaves the act to get married, he's left alone, but he decides he's going to go to Hollywood. And when he gets at Hollywood, the first they say to him, can't act, can't sing, you know, maybe can dance a little. But he hooks up with Ginger Rogers, you know, and bam, you know, it's an overnight sensation when the two of them get together. And, you know, they make all these movies. I mean, I think they made like 8 or 9 movies, right? And then Ginger decides that she wants to just act. She doesn't want to dance anymore. So there he's left again. But then he decides, okay, I'm just going to find another woman to dance with. And so throughout the 40s and into the 50s, he, you know, has these other partners. And he's still dancing now. You know, Fred's the last dance movie is, and he does a little bit, he doesn't do a lot, but he's a little bit in the 60s. But he knows that things are changing, so he decides, let me do some dancing on television. And he does these incredible specials on television of him dancing. You know, he also made records, and he ends up doing some straight acting before his career, before he died, because his career was never over. As long as he was alive, Fred was, you know, doing something. And he actually guest starred on the series It Takes a Thief with Robert Wagner. He played his thief father, you know. It's really, really fun. That was in the 70s. So, again, just another doing what he needs to do to share that gift. And then the last person I want to share with you is Stan Lee. Stan Lee, along with the artist Jack Kirby, is the creator of the main characters of the Marvel Universe, including Black Panther. Now, let me tell you about Stan Lee, because Stan Lee started this stuff in the 40s, okay? This man is now, oh, God, I think he's got to be maybe about 93, 94. And what Stan does is he's the executive producer on all the Marvel movies. So the last 20 movies that have come out, he's been the executive producer. So Stan Lee is making more money now in his 90s, and from his 80s into his 90s, than he ever made when he first started out drawing those comics. And, you know, he's got a cameo in every movie. He has a great sense of humor. And, again, it's just another wonderful example of somebody with a gift and a talent that said, you know, hey, I got this gift. I'm going to keep using it. And thank God he did, because Black Panther is just off the chain. So, you know, you may ask the question, so, Judge Paul, what happens when you retire, though? And what you need to know is that your genius isn't a job or about making a living. It's a very important part of who you are. You can't retire from your genius. You just have to open up to new ways and means for sharing it, like all the people I just mentioned. Honoring your genius. Number one, if you don't know your genius, intend to know it sooner rather than later. Two, if you're not living your genius, know what is blocking you and remove it. Remove it. And last but not least, if you are not taking care of it, intend to learn how to do that so you can be a part of that list of those with longevity, prosperity, and legacy. So, I am going to close out tonight by first thanking my wonderful engineer, Ms. Yvette Parker, Vice President of the Black Hole Radio Group, Hole Radio Be Well Family. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you. Couldn't do this without you. Thank you for supporting my work. And again, a shout out to Brother Farce. Again, he chooses not to believe, he chose not to believe beyond belief of what he was told about his health, and continues to be a great example of the power of the human spirit. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners out there, especially Ms. Sarah, who knows how to conquer fear and share her love, even when she's not feeling well. She's such an inspiration. I'm just blown away. Just amazing. To all of those who have wisdom walked with me and you know who you are, family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you so much. I couldn't do this without your listenership. Again, next week, I'll rebroadcast the first show of this month about your genius and sacred contract, because I'll be in Wisconsin facilitating my last ritual of the 2018 season, but I will return for a live broadcast on Sunday, October the 7th. Don't forget about my Facebook page, where you can access the archives as well under the events listing. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keep my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous mineral week coming up and a full moon in Aries tomorrow. Remember, go into action. And most importantly, remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.